Jesus gave me a promise for my daughter's school.
And then God showed us Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still.
And every word of the Bible is true. It's true. In my life, I have experienced this. In my entire 1 year and 9 months, I have experienced this. The Lord was with me every step of the way. He never left me.
Hello, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless you today in the name of Jesus. We are now going to be looking at stage 4 in the Old Lost Trail series. This will be the last stage, hopefully, that the main video is just me sitting here talking to you before we're now in the next stage, going to actually leave the house in obedience and head towards the mountain trail. And that's where I'm starting to get really, really excited, is to get you onto that mountain and be able to share with you just these beautiful, beautiful insights and lessons that the Lord helped me to remember and reflect on and prepare for your comfort, strengthening, and encouragement. I cannot wait. But in this stage, stage 4, we have to go back and look at, this is again going to be one of the most important foundational stages that we will need to look at. And it's because it's God's promises. It is God's promises for the summit that we even have the opportunity to consider beginning to spiritually climb with Jesus to higher heights of holiness and obedience and faithfulness and more Christ-like character. To go on the heights with Jesus to reach fullness can only happen when we have first of all seen, and then we have second of all understood, and third of all, we have anchored in the promises of God. So I'm going to be going over with you today in this video a few of the main promises that God gives us that tell us He wants us on the mountaintop with Him. And He promises to help us. So in the previous stage, we've talked about how unbelievably costly it is to walk with Jesus, to experience God, to deny yourself, to take up a cross, to hear God, to do His will, denying yourself. It's very difficult. But now we're going to look at God's responsibility. We're going to look at God's promises to help us. Everything in the Christian life, starting with salvation, is rooted in God's promise. Jesus promised, "If anyone comes to me," He said, "if anyone believes in me," He said, "if anyone keeps my words, they will never see death." This is a promise. All who come to Him and obey Him as Lord, receive Him as Lord, call upon His name, have crossed over from death to life. We become spiritually born again in Him. Jesus gives us a promise. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him," and we know from reading the rest of the passage, and we know from understanding Jewish history, and that Jesus came to people who already understood that to believe is to obey. It's a total commitment. That when we believe in Jesus and we receive Him, confessing Him as Lord, it means that He's the living Lord. We believe in a real, living, breathing relationship with Him where He speaks to us and guides us and has a plan for our life outside of us just reading the words in the Bible. God has a plan as if it were the Bible continuing in your life. "My Father is always at work," Jesus said, John 5:17, and He's still at work today. If He were still recording everything on literal paper, you and I, if we were true servants of His, we would be in the Bible. But that Bible being written, the book of deeds, is being written in heaven where we can't read it and see it and print it here today. But this all happens as a result of God making promises to us that all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Right? That's a promise. When God first called me out of the false, counterfeit, ski lift Christianity that I was in, look at what it begins with. It begins with a promise. There is a promise given to me. Jesus spoke to my heart, and I heard the Lord speak to me through the Holy Spirit.
One day I'm praying and God says, look at page 555 in your Bible. So I quickly turned to page 555 in the Bible and I read the story of Jerusalem's deliverance foretold. And as I read that story, God said, I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to deliver you. If you will trust me, I will deliver you. And I just felt this in my spirit one day while I was praying.
That if I would fire my attorney and trust him, he would deliver me in my terrible divorce that I was going through, and that he would do so in a way that was highly unusual and it would bring him much glory. This was a promise God gave me before there was ever any Relentless Heart or YouTube videos. God had spoken to me. He gave me a promise. If you will obey me, I will do this. And as we saw in the story, Trusting God in the Storm, and as 1.7 million people have seen, God did for me what he promised. Where over the last 11 years, I have discovered that God has organized precisely using math every single major event in my life to a precise number of days, using a number that is almost always prominent in Scripture, starting with that astonishing divorce testimony. In the series, Trusting God in Crisis, I captured the incredible details about how God showed me the number 777 over 100 times throughout the divorce, and then how he ended my divorce on the 777th day, and then led me to page 777 of my 1984 10th anniversary NIV study Bible, where it read and told me of God being the ultimate executor of justice when no earthly court could grant it.
And it was that experience that laid the first foundation in my life and heart of God's faithfulness, that God is faithful. Brothers and sisters, our God is faithful. Yes, it is hard. I'll never deny stage three, counting the cost, is excruciating. Jesus wanted you to know that. Excruciating is a word that comes from crucifixion. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, commanding you and I, we must take up our cross. That can be excruciating. It was for Jesus, and it will be for us. But we can do this, all things through him who gives us strength. That is a promise. Philippians 4:13.
And every word of the Bible is true. Like when he says that I will go before you and will level the mountains, and the mountains, it can be anything. It can be any difficulty we face, any sin we are unable to overcome, just anything. Even if our thoughts or our mind is overwhelming us sometimes with doubts and worries and fears, he will go before us and level the mountains. And it is real. It is true. It is real. And I would like also to say something when he says that when you go through waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, and never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, and that I will turn all my mountains into roads. And I love the idea of mountains. And when he says that he who touches the mountains and they smoke and just everything, it's true. In my life, I have experienced this. In my entire 1 year and 9 months, I have experienced this. The Lord was with me every step of the way. He never left me.
God promises to help us in this journey. When God called me out of the false counterfeit Christianity, you can see he started with a promise. And then I saw that faithfulness as I obeyed and carried my cross and denied myself and suffered the persecution of all those good human reasoning folks around me that, like me, would have thought I was nuts unless I had this gift of faith. God came through for me as I obeyed him, suffered to do his will. He came through. His promise was true. Then when God called me into the ministry, he gave me another promise. You serve me. You don't ever ask anyone else for money. You can put a donate button on your website. Don't ever hint.
Don't ever make your needs known. Make your needs known only to me. Come to me alone about your needs. I will provide. Brothers and sisters, nearly 15 years or 16 years, it depends on where I start counting, of this living entirely by faith, God's promise has never failed. It's one thing for me to be able to tell you about firing my attorney and trusting that God said he would deliver me in a highly unusual way, is a 777-day divorce that ends in the last 20 minutes and a total turnaround for me with a dollar a month alimony and me not having to pay a dollar more than I ever thought against two attorneys, a paralegal, and my ex-wife in an $80,000 lawsuit. Is that borderline miraculous? God does the whole thing in 777 days, having told me in advance, showing me these 777s over 100 times. So even still, as difficult as it would be to say that that's just a wonderful coincidence, it is absolutely possible to do so, but it is impossible to say that for 16 years, I've gotten lucky. And every time I needed finances, whether it was $100 in the beginning to pay for an insurance payment that was coming due in 3 days, or I needed $40,000 in order to get the tiny house to New Zealand years and years later, God has never failed me or Lisa now. And these promises, our promising God is faithful. He is loving and faithful to all who obey him and keep the demands of his covenant. There are conditions for answered prayers. There are conditions. Sometimes God gives promises that are unconditional. See that rainbow in the sky the next time it rains? That's an unconditional promise that God gave through Noah, the covenant he made with Noah, that he would never again destroy the whole earth with flood and end all human life that way. But there are a multitude of promises in the Bible that are conditional. Now, we're not going to get into all of this. This is not what that's about. We're going to talk a lot about God's promises as we continue on. In fact, there's a few stages where we're going to rest. But climbing, when you get to the steep parts, is so difficult. So now is a good time for me to find a place to introduce you to the next stage, clinging to God's promises. And I see a place right up here. And re-anchor and re-strengthen ourselves in some of God's promises. But I just want to speak to you heart to heart and tell you, God is faithful.
I recently had a situation where we didn't have a school for my daughter. And Jesus gave me a promise for my daughter's school. And then circumstances contradicted the promise. And I was like, oh, that sounds familiar, because that's what I'd learned from Michael's channel as well. And so that really helped me, and by God's grace was able to hold on, you know, that and remember and hold on to the truth that God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You know, and the situation seemed really impossible because we lived so far away from the school, and it was tough because it was suffering for me, but it was also suffering for my child, and it wasn't just, you know, it was really hard. And God was so gracious. And when he answered the promise, he did it in such a loving way, such a kind way, to say, look, I've been watching you, Etty, and here you are. Here's the promise that you've been waiting for. So really wonderful. So just learning to wait and be patient, and that waiting is also really normal as well as a Christian.
He's so faithful. He will get you on the top. It doesn't matter how old, it doesn't matter what sex, it doesn't matter what race, it doesn't matter how broken, it doesn't matter how disabled, it doesn't matter how long, it doesn't matter how deep the sin was. If you're somebody who's the elect of God and you've humbled yourself before him, God is not a God of favoritisms. He looks for those who will seek him wholeheartedly, who will go all the way with him. And if you will go all the way with him, he's already gone all the way with you. He is a faithful promiser. I think it's Numbers, maybe 23:9. He's not a man that he should lie, change his mind. Does God speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Now, again, conditional promises, if we fail him, he doesn't fulfill them. The biggest, best, brightest example is Moses and Israel. God had promised through you, Moses, I will lead you and these people into Israel. He did not. Far be it from me. You've shown me contempt 10 times. Nope. You will remain right here until all of you have died. So that was a promise that was given that didn't come to pass because it was conditional. And there are all kinds of stories. I did a whole teaching on this in a video called When It Looks Like God Has Deceived You. Really, really important video where I go deep into the stories and show you some of the things that we don't see in casual Sunday school type Bible reading, but are all there for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. But God is faithful. He's not faithful to our ways. He's not faithful always to how we think, and he certainly is not faithful to our timing. But God is faithful. He is so good. Now, I want to share with you a few main verses that show God has promised us. Therefore, he has called us to the top of the mountain. And we're going to, in a few future episodes, we're going to reflect on a lot of other of God's promises that I held fast to on the way up this mountain. In fact, I want to show you something really important from my past. There's a video clip that I've used in previous stories. In fact, I'll put it in right here. You can see that was me when I was still living at my parents' house at the time. And you see these pieces of paper in my Bible. Those pieces of paper that I'm fumbling through are so beautiful for me to look back on. Those are actually promise pages that I made for myself in the beginning of this walk. I want you to emulate me in this if you haven't done so already. No matter what area I was struggling with, like insecurity or pride, I went into the Bible having spent thousands of hours reading it, and I began to harvest the promises of God into categories. And when I could find a particular category or issue that I was struggling with, I would go and harvest all of God's word and all of his promises on that particular subject. And I started to create, boiling them down into like maybe the top 10 or 12 verses. I made these promise pages so that I could have them by my bedside at night, in the morning time and in the evening time. And I tell you, one of the most beautiful secrets of getting to this mountaintop with me, more importantly with Jesus, is anchoring not once, but repeatedly in the promises of God that directly are answering your need, your weakness, your fear, your anxiety, your uncertainty, your deception, whatever it is, you find the words of God, the living words of God that give light to the eyes, that give wisdom to the simple, that purify and cleanse the heart, that become a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, that give you that guidance, that give you that encouragement, that give you that anchor when the hounds of hell are barking at you and the stormy winds are blowing through. I anchored in God's promises. I can't make this point enough. When nobody was watching, when there were no YouTube videos to be put out, or even then, maybe just a few, because it was early on in my walk in ministry with the Lord, I was anchoring in his promises. Not general, specifically to my issue. In fact, if I can find it, I'll even show you an image of some of my old promise pages where I would have notes, and they're old. I think I took scans of them. I made these pages and I printed them out, and I would make notes, and when I would feel that temptation or feel that anxiety or feel that pride or feel that insecurity or feel that fear, whatever it was, I would go directly to the Word of God, which completely contradicted how I was feeling and gave me a promise for victory or power in that particular area. Brothers and sisters, his word works. It is a living word. Hebrews 4:12, sharper than a double-edged sword, living and active, able to pierce between and divide between body and soul, joint and marrow, judging the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart, but giving you power and strength for living and doing exactly what Jesus asks us to do. It's the promises of God that are the fuel for the cost that's so high. It's the promises of God that give you the energy and the courage to carry your cross, that give you the comfort to deny yourself, that give you the reason for doing so. I recently went and looked up those old promise pages that I had made. I shared the old ones on my website many years ago, and then when we moved the website, they kind of got lost. But Lisa and I recently remade them for you, and we would like to share them with you here, actually, on our website. You'll find a link in the description of this video, and I'll just put like promise page downloads with a colon. Please, I encourage you to go get these promise pages. And if for nothing else, you can see these are the actual promises. They are many, many, many years old. I didn't add anything to them like for this video or now. These were the actual scripture promises that I harvested all those years ago when I was going through the suffering of waiting on God, when I was needing to be reminded to trust in God, when I was needing to be reminded about the need to fear God, when I was needing to go through all the scriptures that told me to depend on God alone and not on man. I printed out these pages and I meditated on them. And I can't tell you how much power would daily come into my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. I would receive daily grace and daily power from these promises. There are so many promises in the Word of God that you have to go and actually work for them, and you have to collect them. You have to harvest them. You have to intentionally assimilate them, put them somewhere where you can gain access to them. You know, the Word of God, it's like digging for gold. I've discovered years back, like you can't just open up the Word usually and, you know, not have to dig through a bunch of dirt to find that gold verse, that golden promise. You know, it's not just a book of promises. It's a narrative, and it's got a lot of details, and some of them are really boring. Chronicles, just tribe after tribe, event after event, day after day, number after number. Sometimes you have to read through, but then you keep reading and you're like, wow, there's that gold. It is so rare today that Lisa and I are doing our Bible study, that we don't just, it just boom, it goes off like a spiritual nuclear bomb. Wow. Wow. Look at that principle. Look at that way of God with Gideon there and how that so applies to us. The Word of God living and active in your life and my life. These promises, brothers and sisters, all throughout the Word of God, they also show how foolish and deceptive easy believism is, brothers and sisters. How damned ski lift Christianity is. Really just how foolish it is. Think about this. If again, Jesus did it all, the finished work of Jesus, why all these promises? Not only why all the Bible, as you heard me ask in episode 3, part 2, right? But I come back to you now and I say, if Jesus did it all, if it's all just so easy, why all of these promises in the Word of God, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that are meant to be fuel for you, encouragement for you, strengthening for you, comfort for you, power for you to do what you are called to do? The call of obedience. The call of carrying a cross, the call of denying yourself, the call of getting onto the top of this mountain with Jesus. Why all the promises if it was just so easy and Jesus did it all? You see, if you really start to unpack this and you go with me, you begin to see what a lie this is. Now, let's move on from that. I think I've ridden that horse long enough for now. I want to share with you just a few main verses here that I have that tell us we are to do this. We are to go to the top of this mountain with Jesus, and not just me, you, not just me, Lisa, not just Lisa, every person who calls themselves by the name of Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you will, John 10:10. We always like to focus on the thief who only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but there's a huge but in here at that semicolon. I have come, Jesus, that they may have life and life to the full, or life abundantly. Jesus is saying, I have come for this main purpose, to grant you life to the full. And that's what this whole ministry is about. First, me finding it, and now me telling you how I found it. And here is the command of God telling us, this is available. This is what I came for. Now, a next one, 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Here's the Holy Spirit telling you and I, he's given us these promises. What for? So that through them, please let me say that again, so that through them, through the promises, you'll never make it to stage 5. You'll never make it to stage 7. You'll never make it to stage 13. You'll never make it to the summit of this mountaintop with Jesus Christ, except by these precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in this mountain climb to the top. You may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Remember the religion, according to James, that Jesus Christ approves, that God approves. James tells us it's not only looking after the widows and the orphans. And of course, that's more spiritually today than anything. In some parts of the world, it still means literal widows and literal orphans, but there's far more multitudes of spiritual widows and spiritual orphans. But look what he also says, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Here it is. These divine promises, this call of God is out of the corruption that starts in you. The whole reason the world is corrupt is because of you and me. It's not because of the animals that the world is corrupt. It's not because of the world that the world is corrupt. It's us, spiritually filthy cockroaches in our sinful natures, moved into God's world. We've climbed all over his countertops. We're in all of his cupboards. We're eating his food. We're putting filth and nastiness everywhere. That is corruption. The promises tell us we can escape that corruption and participate in the divine nature, becoming like him. Ephesians 5:1, as dearly loved children, be imitators of God, imitating him, participating in the divine nature. We have to remember this is a promise and we will receive this promise by faith. Remember, the promises of God, behind that promise is the Spirit of Jesus Christ looking directly at you, asking you, what do you want me to do for you? And when you tell him, he asks you, do you believe I'm able to do this? That's what Jesus asks us with every single promise, with every single difficulty. He looks at you and I, and he says, do you believe I can do this? That word you just read, that Michael just shared, or that you had in your devotional time this morning, do you believe I can do this? Now, then there's the other aspect of believing, which is waiting. It doesn't mean that because you believe he's going to do it, suddenly he's going to jump off of his throne and do it for you. He might, especially if he's trying to still prove himself to you. But once he begins to prove you to him, you better expect long delays. That's another stage we're going to talk about. But you have to be patient. And even then, there's promises that God will keep you while you wait. Hebrews 7:24-25. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely. Completely. Not 95%, not 98%, not 99%. He is able to save, the scripture says, completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Do you know Jesus is interceding for me? He's interceding for you. He's interceding for Lisa. Jesus is interceding for us. Maybe you wonder if sometimes God will answer your prayers, but have you ever doubted that God would hear Jesus's prayers for you? I can't even imagine how many times Jesus had to pray for me when I was at the very bottom, or for Lisa when she's crying out, going through some of the most God-awful sufferings in her life. Jesus is praying for us. He's helping us. He's faithful. You have to do your part. Even though Jesus has been praying for me, he's never once come and got me out of bed in the morning and sat me down, put my bowl of cereal in front of me and, you know, whisked me through, carried me through my day. He enables me grace, but I still have to do my part. Look at another promise, Romans 5:17. For if by the trespass of the one man, speaking of Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in this life through the one man, Jesus Christ? That Romans 5:17 tells me, if I'm a Christian and you're a Christian and Lisa's a Christian, we are to reign in this life. Oh, it's not going to look like when you're in the battle, you're reigning and you'll get knocked down a number of times. But brothers and sisters, I used to hold on to that verse. And now all these years later, I can look back, and if I were to rewind and look at the clips from my story and from my journals and all the difficulties and all the sufferings and all the afflictions and all the losses, I sit here today and can say, how much more am I reigning over life? How much more am I reigning over all those afflictions? I have, if you will, taken the spiritual booty. More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I've taken the spoils of the war, which are now being given to you. Do you see how amazing this is? You go back and you listen to Trusting God in the Wilderness. All those years when I was first learning how to walk in obedience and faith with God. And it sounds like I'm getting my teeth kicked in every time. Brothers and sisters, that's the way it has looked for every one of God's servants that have ever been made known to us in any way, because God perhaps raised them up to turn us around, to pull us out of the false and into the true. It looks like they're being defeated over and over and over again. If you just read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about the Apostle Paul, he looks like a complete failure, and he's admitting it himself. Or you go read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and you start to read about all their sufferings. Brothers, we don't want you to be uninformed about the sufferings we faced in Asia. We were under great duress, far beyond our ability to endure, such that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we felt the sentence of death in our hearts. That's pretty bad suffering for the Apostle Paul, who's been taken to the third heaven. But nevertheless, this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That's reigning in this life. If you're not reigning right now in your circumstances, you can still reign in your heart by faith. You can say, as I've recently been telling a brother, and you know who you are, Garrett. Later on, however, brothers and sisters, there will be a later on, however. If I were to rename my ministry today, maybe I would rename it, rightfully so, later on, however. Think about all that, if you've been with me, you've seen in this life. And here we are at the later on, however, a heart totally at rest, totally at peace, totally blessed of the Lord. I wish I could invite you into the inner room of my heart just this morning while I was up on my prayer time and see how this heart feels toward my Heavenly Father. Later on, however, has come for me. It will come for you. But you have to be patient, and you have to anchor in the promises of God, my brothers and sisters. I will tell you emphatically, as much as I'm sitting here in front of this camera, I would have never made it. As certain as I'm sitting here and you can see me, I can tell you, I would have never made it. Had not, by the mercy of God, I thought, I need to anchor in these promises. I perhaps heard it probably from like Charles Stanley or something at the time. And I went and I found the ones that applied to me. Please don't forget to go download these pages that I've made for you. These promises are real. There is power in these promises. And that is how I got through every dark night of my soul. That's how I got through every spiritual attack. I did a whole page for promises on handling spiritual warfare. And you must know, if you've seen my story, I held on to that sucker and read that thing over and over and over again. And those promises are why I'm sitting here today telling you later on, however. And by the way, that is a reference that I use where in John 13:7, Jesus Christ says to the disciples, you do not understand what I'm doing now. But it's a basically later on, however, you will understand. And there's lots of other scriptures that you could apply later on, however, too. So let's keep going here. But think about it. Romans 5:17. You should be reigning in this life When you get to the top of the mountain and you have that pinnacle faith, the highest level of faith that God can give you, you are reigning in this life. Praise God. Praise God. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6 and 10. Peter says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is a promise. God gives grace, power, not a blue tarp to overlook your human weakness, your imperfection, or your sin, but the power. Remember, His power gives us everything to participate in the divine nature and get out of it. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Brothers and sisters, He will lift you up. He will lift you up in due time. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. Just as guaranteed as the going down is the coming up. He will lift you up in due time. It is a promise of God. Again, assuming that you continue not to be perfect. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to receive God's promises, because if that were the case, I would have never received the first one. Neither would Lisa. But as you are sincerely, to the very best of your ability, attempting to know God's will, first reading His word, hearing His voice so that you can do His will for your life eventually, sincerely fearing Him and obeying Him, God will lift you up in due time. He promises. And then verse 10, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you, making you strong, firm, and steadfast. It is a promise, brothers and sisters. Again, I can give you the later on, however, on this one. After you've suffered a little while, and remember, a little while to the Lord is a lot different than to you and I, unfortunately. I'm just going to tell you, His timing has never been mine, ever. I've been wrong 100% about God's timing on everything. But this is the promise. There will be a later on, however, for you. After you've suffered a little while, and you're going to suffer going up this hill with me, we're not only going to receive comfort in heaven, but God will comfort you now. He will comfort you now. And look at this. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22. We're almost finished. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. There's the faithfulness of God. And so through Him, the amen, which means let it be, is written. It's spoken to us by the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. It's God who will make you stand firm. Yes, you have to hold firm. Yes, you have to keep yourselves in the love of God. Yes, you have to hold firmly to that which you've believed. Yes, you have to make a steadfast, if you will, striving effort to enter into the narrow gate. None of that goes away. But as you're doing your part, Philippians 2:12, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, God will do His part, working in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Brothers and sisters, this is how I know that I have an appointment for eternal life. This is how I know I have an inheritance. The Holy Spirit inside of me bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, and assuming that I hold firm to my faith all the way to the end. Or as Jesus said, He who does my will to the end. He says in Matthew 24, 12 and 13, verse 13, He who endures to the end shall be saved. So as long as I and Lisa and you persevere doing God's will, obeying Him, staying faithful to Him, holding firmly to that gospel of 1 Corinthians 15 all the way to the end, how often people don't read what Paul said, if you don't, you've believed in vain. Assuming I do all of that, keeping the demands of His covenant, I am going to endure all the way to the end. And I have in my heart now the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come if I hold firmly to what I have now, all the way to the end. May it be in the name of Jesus Christ. One final one I want to share with you here is James 1:12. Blessed is the man or woman who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised. Promised. The crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And what does it mean to love him? Is it just to have a sense of affection? A few tears on Sunday morning? A joy reading his word? No. This is love for God, to obey his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. That is Father's love language. Notice this blessing for those who persevere under trial, and this crown of life that God has promised is given to those who love him, as evidenced by those who obey him. My dear brother or sister in Christ, there's so much more that could be said about this, but you must know that God is faithful. He promises to look after you financially. He promises to look after you temporally, to satiate you with food, drink, and water.
But then another test came where they lost a contract of $20,000. So my manager came and told me, like, hey, Leo, so, you know, because of what happened, we cannot keep you remote anymore. At that point, I just started getting my resume ready. You know, okay, well, we'll just look for another job, trust God. And then God showed us Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Mm-hmm. And then we asked him to start praying, oh, God, please confirm, because, you know, we don't want to be foolish, you know. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of pressure, you know. And
so he was basically telling Leo not to look for another job.
So we prayed, and God, if you're telling us this, please confirm it. And he confirmed it in an incredible way. I stopped getting my resume ready and trusting God. And then after that, that's, you know, like, there was a meeting, and we had the meeting. He's like, hey, Leo's leaving. And they're like, what? So that day I really felt the the weight and the pressure of, like, you have two babies, you have a wife. Mm-hmm. And it really, really, like, hit me that day. So right away went to my desk and started praying and asking God for peace and to trust him. And that's where, you know, when he provided the money for us, mm-hmm. it really, really helped us to trust him and that he will provide one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 10 minutes or so, peace again, you know. And I went back to doing my thing, and now worrying about it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And to where, yeah, finally, like, we were supposed to leave in April 24th. And, like, 2 weeks before that, my manager came and said, like, hey, Leo, so we got a contract, it looks like, for $50,000. I mean, that was, and it's even like in a different state. Mm-hmm. They don't do business with other states, like, you're just local. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, what is this, God, you know? Yeah. And he's like, if we sign the contract, we'll give you the job. We'll keep you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and indeed, like, the very day that he told me, God showed us again, 14:14, mm-hmm. Exodus 14:14. And I saw it in the morning. And then my manager told me, hey, Leo, so we signed the contract, we're keeping you. And mm-hmm. that was such a incredible blessing. You know, that's part of the risks, you know, that we have taken in mm-hmm. obeying God.
It doesn't mean that you won't ever have times of being hungry. He promises to look after you and meet your basic needs. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will provide for you, and all of these things will be given to you. And again, the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, speaks of being hungry, going without food and water, even going without clothes. So there will be times where God tests us. And perhaps if you become a full-time servant of the Lord, you get more testing. You have to have more suffering. But this is something that you must settle in your heart, that God's promises are faithful. And God is very merciful. Even if you think sometimes that you've messed up too much to receive his promises, God is severe, but I see also God is so faithful. He's both. Romans 11:20-22 tells us this. I don't lean on God's mercy, but oh, I have found him to be so merciful. He loves you. He loves me. He wants to bless us. And in order for us to please God, in order for us to have the grace, everything in the Christian life is by grace. In order for us to receive that grace, we have to anchor in God's promises, humbling ourselves to trust him in them. He wants you to enjoy him forever. He wants to be enjoyed by you forever. I cannot wait to see how all of this mountain climbing effort, striving and difficulty down here equates to so much glory up there, because God has promised that these light and momentary afflictions that we are suffering now are producing in us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 8, 17 and 18, that if we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, we will participate in his glory if we participate in his sufferings. He says, I consider that our present sufferings in this life are not worth comparing to the glory which will be revealed to us, through us, for us, and in us in heaven. It's true, my brothers and sisters, and we believe it by faith. The promises of our promiser are true because he is faithful. Please, can I just direct you quickly one last time? Go search for the link. Maybe I'll remember and put a comment at the top and pin it, which has a link to these pages. Go download these pages. If you need them, download them all. I'll try to even put them all in one document. Put them on your iPad or on your phone and read them. Anchor, like me, it got me to where I am today, having gone through all that I've gone through. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. I don't know how else to tell you. He is so unbelievably faithful. He doesn't look like it at the time. Rarely does he look like it. And that's where faith is tried. That's where faith is proven. That's where faith is tested. That's where faith is strengthened. That's where faith endures. That's where faith is disciplined. That's where faith learns patience. God refining your faith. We're going to talk a lot more about that as we get up. But would you do me a favor as the last request I have? Would you again, maybe some of you have a story of how you anchored in a promise of God that you could share, how some verse jumped out at you and you knew by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit that that was your promise and how it came to pass. Would you share it in the comments with other people? If you have a testimony of clinging to God's promises in the face of a difficulty or a need and how God came through for you, or would you be willing to share maybe a promise you're waiting now, a word you believe you've received from God, you're still anchoring in it, still holding on? It'll be an encouragement to your other brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you so much for taking this journey with us. We love you and we appreciate you so very much. This is a lot of hard work for us. We do it for the Lord first and we do it for you second. And we are so thankful for those of you who have taken the time to share some comments and even emailing us, a few of you, to tell us how these teachings have already been a blessing to you. I plead with you, stick with us. It's only going to get so much better. I cannot wait to get to the next stage where we're finally going to at least leave the house, head towards the mountain. And then from there on up, you'll be seeing a lot of the beauty of the mountain and the beauty of this life that I've lived before the Lord and all the things he's shared with me along the way, which are now for you and your encouragement. God bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm so excited. Can't wait to get back to work for you. Don't forget, leave the comments that we've asked you for in the bottom if you're willing. And we'll see you on stage 5. All these years later, what looked then like a terrible risk, some foolishness on my part, has turned out to be so glorifying to God. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.